Welcome to Delightfully Dysfunctional, a podcast about navigating the emotions of the human condition and the challenges that come with it. I'm Kaylani Persian Mason, a psychotherapist and life coach with James Timmons and Ever Curious Human. This is not a replacement for mental health therapy. Please seek out mental health care if that's what you're needing. This is an opportunity for self-healers to dive deep and understand more about themselves.
Welcome back to Delightfully Dysfunctional. We're starting with the dysfunctional as James talks about his lower back hair.
Yeah.
Hope you have it in you to stay tuned.
What's funny is that my oldest son, he was born with a patch of back hair.
They're furry.
And we thought it was cute because he's like his little mini version of me. Cute little mini patch of hair in his lower back.
Is it maybe like a tail that was trying to grow in? Maybe you were born with, yeah.
We're like advanced. You don't think I'm advanced?
We'll let you draw your own conclusions, listeners.
Go ahead. What are we talking about today?
Today, we're talking about death, because I feel like death.
Oh, geez.
But it's being brought to you by this sexy rasp. It's not even sexy anymore, actually. It just sounds like death, I think. I've had it for like a week.
So, Kaylani is sleep-deprived today.
And sleep-deprived is the equation I'm speaking to, and what's bringing you this deeper, sultry tone.
Should we turn the lights off to make it extra dark?
Yeah, and you know, I threw this out there, but I want to know what our listeners think. You know what? Actually, this is my one stand-up joke I have in my pocket. Okay. And I honestly, it was just given to me. It was given to me because my maiden name was Coochie. I was Kaylani Coochie. Yes,
Doctor of
just
love.
Take a moment and take that in. So when I have this sultry rasp going on, I always say to myself, Kaylani, what are you doing? You could be making some extra buck right now.
Yeah.
As a smooth, sultry sex phone operator. You just stay on the line for a really good time. Kaylani Coochie.
I don't know if sex hotline is still a thing though.
Oh damn, you're right. I don't think I have it in me to go what is that thing? Oh, OnlyFans? I don't think that's my style. Yeah. And some people might be saying, she's a therapist. What's she saying? I'm not your average therapist. If that's new news to you, then I'm sorry, but this is me. Welcome.
She's in rare form today.
I am unfiltered because me so sleepy.
That's okay.
Yeah. Anyways, that was what I had in me. Today, though, like I said, I wasn't joking about this. We're talking about the five regrets of the dying. I have a strange comfort talking about death. I even had a psychedelic trip that was like showing me kind of that I'm to be like being a death doula in some ways. I don't know if that is the path that I will find myself on in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. But I grew up in a very rural area of northern Minnesota, and the old farmstead I happened to live on actually shared a driveway with a cemetery and was also next to another cemetery. So I was sandwiched between two cemeteries. And being an only child on a farm with busy, busy parents who weren't there physically very much, sometimes I take a stroll in the cemetery. I recall having a friend, and since there was no park nearby, we had a picnic in the cemetery. Mm. I recall there being, there was this cool assignment in high school. We had to make a horror movie. So, of course, like my group said, we need to go to Kaylani's because she has the cemetery.
Yeah.
So, and I'd go horseback riding in the cemetery, and it was just like I like that. There's people's stories. There's things that you can learn from what's put on their headstone. I like reflecting on the full lives that they had. Yeah. And I don't know what that says about me, but I enjoy that. And I also worked at a nursing home. I was a CNA in high school, and I really liked working with the elderly and hearing their stories and giving honor to the twilight years of someone's life, which our society does not do well.
Yeah.
So all of that has me wanting to talk about death today.
Yeah. I think that cemeteries, I have opposite.
Most people do. Yeah, what do you feel about a cemetery?
I don't have like a normal feeling about cemeteries. I think they're a waste of land.
Oh, I could agree to that too, to some extent. Yeah.
But then again, like, because I you know, I'm in real estate, and so I'm always like, man, they could put a bunch of houses on. But then,
but that's monetizing something that is also
sacred.
Yeah, and like ceremony is something we're so lacking, and in a. In the culture and in the society that we're in, I think giving an honor to that is important. I personally don't, I will not find, my body will not be found in a cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
I somewhat for that reason.
Yeah.
But I've also seen, you know, firsthand from the funerals, from the people that would regularly visit the cemetery, there were regulars and I knew their stories and I saw them, that it is a space to grieve and it's a space to connect and it's a space that some people really need.
Yeah. And also it would be a hard selling point if there were houses built on top of a graveyard.
Yeah, be a unique kind of person. So maybe let's have them have their space. Let's allow the cemeteries. Yeah. I especially love, have you ever been to New Orleans? New Orleans?
Uh-uh.
Nolens. Is that one of those ways is going to be right? I don't know.
I think
one
it's, of them. New Orleans.
Nolens. That's how they say it. Oh my gosh, their cemeteries are so cool because they're like the, I'm going to probably butcher some of this, but because technically they're below
sea level,
uh-huh. like there'd be flooding. And so bodies would float up from the ground.
Way.
So they have to have mausoleums and like they're all above ground and they're super, like they look super creepy and stuff, but it's just another form of burial.
Wow.
And there's so many, there was a podcast for a long time. I don't even know if it's still out there, but you should check it out. That I listened to, it would have been like a decade ago, and it was called, I think it was just Ask a Mortician. And I really enjoyed learning about different burial practices and different customs around the world and just interesting things like that. Like, truly, it'd be cool to just be like turned into a tree, or like the mortician herself. I don't remember what the term was, but it's just where you allow your body to decompose. But that's not allowed in, like, I don't know.
Just like leave it out?
I don't, maybe you throw a little dirt on there, but like to not have a coffin, to not be embalmed, to
that's how Black Plague was invented.
Well, we'll throw some dirt on it. throw some dirt on
it. No, you gotta dispose the body. You know, I'm sorry.
Okay, so are you going back to we need cemeteries?
No, I mean, most people, you know, choose cremation. I'm personally gonna, you know, put my body in a giant thing of formaldehyde and then just like it's gonna go on a tour.
No, you could donate your body to that Body Worlds. I mean, they've had a lot of legality issues, but that isn't that your dream, James? People will come and be like, they're looking at you and they're like, you got crowds of people.
Number one, I won't even know what's going on. I'll be dead. But number two, I've heard stories about them and it's so corrupt.
Yeah, and it's crazy.
There was one of the lady who like founded it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like her husband cheated on her and got his mistress pregnant. And this is all, I just heard this. I don't have any.
Someone fact check us.
But please fact check it because it's so juicy. But like, the mistress went missing a couple days later and she was apparently pregnant. And so like a few days later, there's a pregnant woman in the display. I heard this somewhere. I don't know if it's credible or not, but I want you guys to fact check it and put it in the comments because... If that's true,
you are just You're just I heard once that a spider ate a human, the whole body.
How do you guys feel about hot gossip?
Oh my gosh. Okay, if it's true, I will give you $100.
You don't have to. We're just gonna go. No, I see. I was in Vegas when it was there.
Yeah.
And somebody's like, "Do you want to go check this out?" And I was like, "No, I don't want to go see dead bodies."
I've seen it.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, but I was like, I was in like middle school or high school. I might have been a field trip. I can't quite remember. Yeah, to be honest,
I don't have a desire.
And it was twisted. You did learn a lot, but like then you learn about the corruption. Like it only feels fair if someone's saying like, "Yeah, dude, that's what I want my body where I want my body to be." And there's a lot of people who I think like donate their body to science, and then it ends up there. And that's not what I mean by science. That's a spectacle.
Yeah.
I mean, it is teaching people, but it's not like when someone's donating their body to science, I'm thinking like, ship me to Harvard and have the next like best cardiologist do some practice, you know? What do you feel? Oh man, I was gonna ask about organ donation. Is that too much of a?
No, I'm an organ donor. And, like,
take all the stuff I don't need.
Yeah. Donate my organs.
Organs. Oh God.
I'm just kidding.
Oh no.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh my God. Did I walk into that?
Sorry.
Can't handle
you
this.
You did.
Today.
You set that up. I couldn't resist.
Although,
I mean, yeah, you were having a very innocent conversation.
Reflect on
organ
this.
Donation.
Who's the twisted one here, yeah. James?
So anytime you talk about organ donating, you can. That joke is set up. So okay. So you're welcome, listeners. Most of you are male, anyway. So. Anyway, okay.
Oh boy, how do I reel this in? How do I do it? Actually, I want to talk a little bit of my psychedelic experience, and then we'll dive in.
Okay. Yeah, this will be a hard transition.
I know. Well, and also I was like, there's more I wanted to share about that. This is going to sound super twisted. I've never talked about this on the air. I've talked about it, honestly, with very few people.
Okay.
Part of this particular experience, I was out of body viewing my body, this current body, being drug around by a car. Like a cul-de-sac kind of, and having zero emotional attachment to it, and having like absolutely zero. It was like, oh yeah, there's some bones and skin. And it was this moment of realizing, oh, that's just the vessel that I'm in for a time. It is not who I really am. I've mentioned once before having an experience of just also understanding that death is a transition, just like other transitions that we go through in life. And then I've had this experience of being able to help people transition in that psychedelic space where like they were on their deathbed, and like being able to, in a spiritual sense, I suppose, like be there with them as they were transitioning into a spiritual realm. I'm trying to use verbiage that might apply or connect with a wide array of people and their varying beliefs. And there are certainly, I'm sure, people here who are atheists and they're going to be like, "Oh, that's bullshit," or "I don't believe that." And that's fine. You can believe what you want to believe. But those were some really powerful takeaways that have helped me in my current ability to live this life well. So, I view our job here as being in life school. I think we are spiritual beings having a human experience, and we can get really caught in the weeds. We can get stuck in our ego, and we can be cruel and vicious to one another. But the ultimate task is really, how do we separate ourselves from ego? How do we find a way to give more out there that is of benefit, of honestly, of love? And find an understanding of our pain and transmute that into a positive message, which is part of why I have really been enjoying the journey that we've been going on with doing more therapist reaction videos to music, because music is one language in which people allow themselves to be more vulnerable.
Mm. Yeah.
So now we can segue into the top five regrets of the dying.
Top five regrets of the dying.
Yes.
Ooh, okay, juicy.
Number one.
No, wait, number one, or should we count down?
Oh, down.
Yeah, let's do five.
Number five.
Number five. Okay, here we go.
I wish I had allowed myself to be happier. Allowing themselves to really experience happiness instead of imposing limitations or societal expectations or hiding by fear.
Yeah.
I think that being happy is scary.
It requires vulnerability.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I can see most people in their lives almost like, you know, we're all taught you're not allowed to be happy until you accomplish a few, you know, certain things. Mm. You know, like do your homework and then you can play, kind of.
Well, I feel philosophy. Bad because I just told my son that inside, but yes.
I mean, it has it's valid.
Yes. I know. But I'm joking. Mm-hmm.
But but you can enjoy, you can be happy while you're doing the homework.
And yeah, actually, yeah, I love that point. And that's one gift my mom gave me is like doing chores, like make it a game.
Yeah.
Make it a game. Like, if you're doing something and you're just sitting in the mindset of this is terrible and horrible,
yeah,
that's not working to your benefit in any way. But also I think that, you know, when it's saying societal pressures to, I resonate with this, to have some certain goal and the thought is always, when I reach that, then I can be happy.
Yeah.
And that's never the case. I have clients who've experienced a lot of depression, and when they have a bright moment, a parting in the clouds, the sun's shining through, they're afraid of it. They don't trust it.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw a Brene Brown clip where she's talking to Oprah, and she makes that same point where people are so afraid that when things are going well, like, and that was actually, she was talking mm-hmm. about that same regret where they're like, oh no, something bad is coming, you know? So then you have to like
dress. You still live in fear and apprehension.
Well, it's like you have to dress rehearse for the worst case scenario. So then you live your whole life. And then she said that some guy had said he did that his whole life, but then like when his wife died, he realized there was no amount of preparation that could have prepared him for the pain of that. So mm-hmm. he robbed himself of all those years that he should have enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, and that's what we do. I do that. That's a lesson, thankfully, that I'm learning now.
Yeah.
Where like hope and enjoyment, regardless of circumstances. Yeah, because, and I learned that the good circumstances are usually a product of your positive mindset. So like mentally, like almost like self-sabotaging, and it becomes like this self-fulfilling prophecy, because you're like, oh, this horrible stuff's gonna happen if I don't prepare for it. And then then it happens and you're like, see? But it happened because you were like, you manifested it on accident, you know?
Or you've twisted something or ignored details that could have given you a different takeaway that would have been more beneficial and more uplifting. And I remember realizing I had a lot of anxiety when I was young, and I remember realizing like, God, why are you wasting all this energy on trying to predict? Like, it's such wasted concern because how many times has it actually turned out okay?
Right.
So like all of that was for naught, and you could have been okay.
Right.
But you chose to fixate on trying to fortune tell and mind read and, you know, disqualifying any of the positive things going on to stay in this state of content pain.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy because when you start to like believe and tell yourself that things are going to be okay, it goes so against like the culture that you created in your mind. Because I remember saying like, it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. And then
not believing poisonous words in your mouth, right?
Yeah. And, but I kept on saying, but what if it isn't? But what if it's not gonna be okay? It's like, but it's gonna be okay. And if it isn't, then, you know, we've made it this far when things weren't okay. We're gonna be okay, even if it isn't okay. So I'm gonna hope and I'm gonna decide that it's gonna be okay. And guess what? Everything is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like, I've mentioned some of my some of the fears that I had about being more public in this way that we are, that are still there. I just keep making fearful, bold steps forward. But I realize, you know, the idea of getting negative feedback and comments, which totally has happened, and some of them have really hurt. And I made a mental decision that those were going to be opportunities for me to learn and grow in a way that I'm really needing.
Yeah.
And there's a way then to transmute something that can be overwhelming and turn it into a lesson. So instead, and you have to view then that no one's path is smooth, but are you willing to glean the lessons or do you want to cement in the misery?
Right.
Put that on a cup. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Oh man, all right. Yeah, so not allowing oneself to be happy.
Man, we could talk, you know, we could talk all day about this, but let's keep on moving on. Right. Number 4.
Okay, number 4 is neglecting friendships, not staying in touch and neglecting friendships. And
that one's lame. Let's go to number 3.
No, because we were just talking about, like, off air, I was talking about, like, I mean, this is a phase of my life, but there's also some very real things that I need to adjust on so that I don't burn out.
Yeah.
Because we were able to meet up and have a little podcast party last week. That's and right. I realized I didn't remember the last time I'd allowed myself to have fun and be social like that.
Yeah.
And I miss it and I crave it. And it, like, that ability to connect and maintain those connections is important, especially in this time when I've said it and I'll say it again and again, the U.S. Surgeon General has said we're in a loneliness epidemic. And I, from everything I have seen with my clients, with everything that I feel and I witness and observe in society, that is true.
Yeah.
And people feel like I don't want to burden my friends, and people are overworked and overbusy. They aren't reaching out in the same way. And I just let it start with, hey, you were on my mind.
Yeah.
Send a message right now. Pause this podcast. Send a message to a friend. And just say, I just wanted you to know you were on my mind today.
Okay, I'm going to
do
it.
I hope you're having a good day. Yeah, do it right now. I'm going
to
do it right now,
too. Okay, send it to my ex.
I mean,
I'm just kidding.
That would hope, a friend.
I'm actually not sending it to anyone. I only said that to set up that joke.
Oh, God.
But, going back to our podcast party.
Yeah, oh, it was so fun.
It was a unique vibe because we've worked really hard and diligently to create curious culture, and it felt like that group was all, like, attached to this podcast, and so yeah. It was,
but so many people work remotely. Like, you and I are the only two that meet up physically every week and see each other. But
still, they're, like, part of that community.
They're an integral part.
Mm-hmm. So, like, it was just a good vibe. Everyone was, like, there, you know. And
it feels good to have, like, a shared goal that we're all working towards.
Yeah.
And honestly, coming from the same place. And so that was really lovely.
Yeah.
I think,
and there was alcohol.
Yeah, so, I had a beer. It was wild.
I had like 3.
I was also chasing my wild child around.
That's true. Yeah, Priya had like 4 beers.
She was crazy.
The little samplers, though. You know,
oh my gosh.
They're like, they're handheld to her. Just kidding. Just joking.
All right, number 3.
Okay.
I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. That's what we're here for. That's what we're doing, man. Trying to help people unlock some of that.
I wish I had the courage to unlock, to what? Express my feelings?
To express my true feelings, or unlock that. that there were unspoken things, there was unresolved conflict, there were thoughts that weren't shared. Which to me is all saying, I didn't let someone really see me. I did not have the courage to work through and ask yourself why.
Yeah.
Why do I do that? Why am I blocking that person? Why aren't I being honest? Why did I say it that way? Why didn't I act out of integrity there? How can I be humble about this? Mm-hmm. You know, how can I have the hard conversation? Ask yourself why.
I think in my experience, because I have some of that regret where, like, in the past, I didn't lean in to, like, that vulnerability and, like, giving that person a chance to, like, receive it and reciprocate it.
And
it would have been a game changer. And
similarly, there's actually been a couple of friendships on my mind where I think I felt like too burnt.
Yeah.
And at the time, maybe I was also had too much on my plate that contributed to the decision to create that distance. And I feel badly that maybe those people, maybe it created anxiety for them. Me not trying to do that at all. And that, you know, people are people. We're going to mess up and fumble.
Yeah.
You can have internal barriers without setting hard ones outside of yourself too. All right. Number two, that I hadn't worked so hard. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. I wish I hadn't spent so much time on career.
I definitely don't have that regret. Having basically been glorified unemployed for the last 2 years. I'm a realtor, so, you know, the market has been awful, and then...
So you have some, like, work...
Yeah, I'm not like, gosh, I wish I'd worked...
Yeah, you're like, I'm ready!
Harder. It's like, I was, ready and willing to work. Although I just started a new job.
I know, James! Woo!
Hopefully this, though, just becomes our full-time job.
I think
so
that
make
this
sure
is,
you smash that subscribe button.
Please. Yeah.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've worked so hard. I think that I'm having some real... I'm having to navigate some hard truths, like, presently in my life regarding this. I give too much, and I don't always come home with enough.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Oh, okay.
Because I can feel a little bit of guilt, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, that was something that I did in my marriage, that I would come home, and I would be, like, tired and burned
depleted.
Out. I wouldn't want to give anyone a glimpse into what my day was like, even though that would have been such a great time for connection to, like, incorporate my wife into that world. But then I just had, like, this unintentional double life. I go to work, come home, I wouldn't want to talk about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So do you and Zach have, like, 'cause Zach works all the time too.
I think that's part of the problem for both of us right now.
Well, do you guys have like a set aside amount of time when you guys come together at the end of the day that you, like, sit and just decompress?
When our daughter sleeps, yes. But it's a season right now of that not happening with as much ease.
Yeah.
So it gets hard. The truth is that it gets hard. And there are also some practices that I'm realizing. I don't always have maybe the proper boundaries with my clients because I care a lot. So, like, a normal therapy session is 50 minutes.
Yeah.
I give them a full hour and sometimes I go over. Then I have no time to do my notes, and that I have to do them when I get home.
Mm.
I have barely any time to get water and go pee.
Oh, man.
I have barely any time to eat. And the thing that is embarrassing, to be really honest, is that, these are things that I tell other people to do. And so it's embarrassing to reflect on how I'm neglecting that. And it's causing, it's now unavoidable in ways that it's causing some real harm to my body. And that feels embarrassing too.
Well, don't be embarrassed. Give yourself some grace. You would also tell your clients that. Nobody's perfect. Yeah.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. And it's just a temporary season, you know. But, Or, you know what? I can start covering your clients for you.
That'd be great. Yeah.
I'll just go in and be like, hey, have you tried not you thinking tried about
stand-up it? Stand-up therapy? Should, let me give you some jokes.
You should suppress your emotions. That's what I'll tell your clients. And they'll be like, you know what? I'm gonna try that.
Yeah, let's push it down. Let's
and then
push
you
it down.
Follow up.
And then hey, do you just give them a beer? Is that how this works?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, you do psychedelic assisted therapy. I just do drunken suppression. Yeah. And then, but the thing is, it'll solve their problem temporarily. Mm. And then, you know, but then you'll have a repeat client in a few years.
Oh, God. This is a system I don't support. But I think that this is ripe content for a new segment that we'll be rolling out. And it's going to be called Fully Dysfunctional.
Are we announcing this right now?
James. Yeah, I'm doing it so that you can't back out.
Okay. See, well, hopefully this episode gets no listens.
Everyone needs to comment to further support and solidify.
I'll tell you what. Let's make a challenge.
Fully Dysfunctional becomes a thing.
I'm going to create this section into a reel. And if we get a certain amount of comments or shares or whatever, then I will just go all in
with fully dysfunctional. A certain amount. I'm going to say, honestly, 5. I'm going to keep the bar low.
No, let's go 500.
No.
500. No, I have a whole bunch of content. Happening. So I shared a few times on this podcast that I'm going to embark on a pursuit of stand-up comedy because I have all this material written and it's been my dream. But then I thought, you know, with this platform, like I could just put out the same material. I don't have to go grind in clubs at open mics and stuff like that. I can just sit here and go on my little tangents because that's all I've written. And
yeah,
if you guys want to hear that.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
See, I can see it in their eyes.
I can see it in their eyes.
Yeah.
That glimmer.
I can tell you it's going to be awkward. And that's what's going to make it funny. Okay.
I can promise you this. It's going to be awkward.
That's the goal of it.
Oh, my God. You're going to cringe. It's going to be great.
It's going to be fantastic.
Okay. We are rolling in. Actually, I have one more thing to share about this one. It also was a part of a psychedelic experience where I... it sounds so silly because now I have another story afterwards. I communed with my ancestors. My grandpa, whom I never met, he actually died in a plane crash in Alaska before I was born. Long before I was born. Well, he was there and he said, rejoice in your family. And it was a message. It was a message and a yearning of something that he knows he didn't do well enough in his life. So when I feel more restored, my drive home from work, that's my mantra.
Rejoice in your family.
Yeah. And that's, it helps me. It helps me return back to who they deserve me to be.
Right. Yeah. I mean, gratitude is like the ultimate, like opposite action of everything we're describing.
Yeah.
Like if you rejoice in the present moment, then you're going to find things to rejoice about. And then it's going to, you're going to have this much better energy.
And we do gratitudes every night, but you know, that switch from work mode to home mode, sometimes I'm full support. And if you haven't done it, create a ritual around it. Like
you do them every night?
We do 3 gratitudes every night.
You don't do them in the mornings?
I say thank you in the morning.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Good, I say thank you and I have a little moment when I look outside and I see the sun coming up.
Mm-hmm. But are you specific with your thank yous in the morning?
It's the thank you is felt.
Okay.
Like thank you for this, like honestly, well, it's this thank you for this day, for another opportunity for that I woke up with breath in my lungs to be a part of this world.
I love it.
And thank you for the lessons, no matter how hard.
Yeah. That's a hard one, too, because, like, The best lessons
are hard.
Are hard, and they're painful. Mm-hmm. But then when you look back, you go, "That's shaped."
I needed that.
Yeah, that shaped me.
Oh yeah, the hardest lessons. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, honey, but you needed that.
Yeah, like the most perfect statues require a lot of chipping away and like this little bit of destruction. Mm-hmm. So that's why I have this Greek godlike physique.
Eye roll.
I'm sorry, I'm gonna cut that one out.
No, and you need to include my reaction for the world. Gosh.
We are fully dysfunctional. Okay,
rolling into number one, and I
we're number. Wait, we didn't do number two?
No, number two was I wish I hadn't worked so hard.
Okay.
Yeah, number one, and I have another psychedelic story, kind of, which is funny.
Okay.
I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me.
OMG. Like, I can tell you... Oh, I'm sorry. You said you had a story.
You go first. Okay. It's okay.
There have been people that have connected with me because they have heard me on this podcast, mm-hmm. and they just kind of feel like I'm a safe person to be vulnerable with. And I can't tell you how many people feel like stuck in some kind of life season or situation, and they just feel like this
trapped.
Yeah. Deep mm-hmm. yearning that they have betrayed themselves. And to put those specific words and terminology to it is it offers so much clarity, but it's painful clarity. Yeah. It's just really like enlightening when somebody realizes that they have betrayed themselves.
That's what's cool about what we're doing and the time we've invested here, because this is my bold step. And I hope it keeps growing. For me, the fire is just in knowing that like you get messages like that, and I get messages like that from people that I never would have had those moments with.
Yeah.
They never would have contacted me.
Yeah.
They never would have shared that. And that's like worth it. Like if I could get paid in that, if that could pay off my student loans, if only, but
it will,
but it makes, it just fills my heart. So this weekend, I actually shared this with you when we met up, but it was, when we met up for our podcast party, Oakley said one morning, Saturday morning, that he hadn't seen The Lion King. I don't remember how The Lion King came up in conversation. And I was immediately like, we're fixing this right now. Like, we didn't have anything really planned that morning. Mm-hmm. I was just, Saturday morning, I make some kind of yummy breakfast, and that's kind of the routine. So I turned on The Lion King. It was the most glorious morning ever. Like, it was such a staple of my childhood. I had, like, The Lion King, like, giant stuffed animals as a child. Like, I loved it. I loved it so much. And so as I'm watching it, and I hadn't watched it since I was little, I'm just enjoying it so much. And it reaches this point after grown up Simba, spin with Timon and Pumbaa, uh-huh. Nala finds him.
Yeah.
Then he's out in the grasses and Rafiki, shaky, shaky, shake. He comes over and he's representing a shaman.
Uh-huh.
And he guides Simba into... I think it's either tree roots or like a prickly bush, but he's really having to like navigate these like kind of tight, confusing spaces. And the whole time he's saying like, where are you taking me? What's happening? And Rafiki's like, ha ha, come and follow me. You will find out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he has to trust the process. He has to let go. And all of a sudden, like this, like, what are the phases of a psychedelic experience unfold? He's then looking at the water and sees Mufasa's reflection.
Yeah.
So he's communing with his ancestors, and Mufasa says, remember who you are. Mm. Remember who you are.
Remember. Yeah, James Earl Jones.
Yes. Is that not like having the courage to live a life true to yourself, right? That's the message.
Yeah.
That's the message that psychedelics give when done therapeutically, when done with set and setting, when done with a Rafiki.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful. Now, he still had to come back to reality where there was a monumental task to take over Pride Rock again, right?
Yeah.
Like the reality of your life doesn't, and what you need to do to get there, to have true integrity with yourself, to not abandon yourself, that task is still there.
Yeah.
But it's a lot easier when you can see it with clarity and remember who you are.
Yeah. That's a beautiful illustration that you just gave, because like using cartoons for me is very helpful. And
I hear that The Lion King 2 is about MDMA, so...
Okay, hold on. I was going to talk about Lion King 2, and...
I'm sorry, I jumped in.
No. I was like, no, I shouldn't, because it's terrible. Is it really bad?
I've never seen it.
There's a reason, because it didn't do well. My kids, I showed them Lion King, and we were all into it, and then we were like, well, there's a part two, let's check it out. Surely it has to be like a sequel, like a true... It was garbage. Oh, hot man. Garbage. But they created Lion King 1.5.
Oh yeah.
And then that. Yeah, this next part two is just like,
I've never seen any of the sequels.
They're terrible. Lion King was a masterpiece, and you just have to leave it there.
Just leave it there. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well,
they betrayed themselves with making those sequels.
They betrayed themselves. Oh no. <Yeah. laughs> They have to go back and watch their first creation.
Right.
Well, dear listeners, my voice is on its last leg. I might need a nap. But thank you so much. If you have not yet, it would mean the world for you to like, comment, subscribe, share with a friend. If you haven't joined us on YouTube, please do. Try it. You'll like it. And as always, stay curious, delightful humans, and we'll see you in the next one.
Bye. Bye.